Remain standing. Get your Bibles, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And it's a good thing I just looked at that, because I had the wrong scripture circled in my Bible. I was about to embarrass myself again. Genesis chapter 2. Brother Gus, that's page 3 in my Bible, just so you know. All right? We're going to start reading in verse 18 and read through verse 24 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll start on verse 18. You join me on 19, and we'll alternate through that way. And then I will pray, and we'll jump right into the sermon. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." Boy, is that not a true statement. And the Lord God said, "It's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And let's finish on verse 24 together. Ready? "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, this relationship of marriage, so confusing in what the world would say today's world is, but you made it awful clear for us. I pray that we would take a biblical approach and look at it through your eyes. And would you change our marriages for the better tonight? Would you save a marriage? Would you save some stepchildren from bitterness with a stepparent, and a stepparent with bitterness with a stepchild, and a husband and wife bitter with each other, and just so many other relationships that are affected by it? Please help us in a special way, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I, for about 6 to 7 minutes, am going to be very personal. The reason being, some of you have heard some of this, but not all of this, but I don't know how better to illustrate the sermon for tonight than to be personal. 28 years ago, this October 10th, I had my first date with my wife. 28 years. Can you believe she's lasted that long with me? Now, I believe it was October 5th. It may have been October 6th of that week. I literally knocked her over. I was getting a lunch bag full of food at the lunch line at the college. We didn't call it lunch bags. We called them gag bags. But I was in the lunch bag line, and the tables and stuff were over here. There's guys lined up, and you had just a little narrow way to walk through there. And I had to go get in line, so I'm walking through there. And about the time I got halfway through there, there was they called it buckets and bows closet. There was a closet in there with all kinds of cleaning stuff. I wasn't paying attention. I was getting my gag bag because I had to go to work. And started through there, and just about the time I got there, this little girl come out that door filled full of buckets, brooms, and everything else, and mops. And I literally knocked her over. Everything she had in her hand went everywhere. It was exciting. I was embarrassed. I helped her pick things up. I apologized. She said, "No problem." On she went. I got my gag bag and went to work. The next day, I came walking down there. When I got to where that door was, I stopped. And I went like this. Say, why? Because the day before, I'd knocked somebody over. Guess who was standing in the same doorway at the same time? That same girl I knocked over. I kind of humorously said, I was looking for you today, that way I didn't knock you over. And we talked for a moment, on we went. The third day, I came walking through there. Guess who was there again? I started to talk to her. I asked her her name. I asked her where she was from. I found out, this is what was really, you know, weird. I found out her home church was the church my dad and mom had moved from Canton, Ohio to Toledo, Ohio, and they were going to her home church. My mom and dad had just started going there just a couple months before I met my wife. I said, you've got to be kidding. I said, my mom and dad just started going to that church. Well, we stood there and talked for a few minutes. I got to work that night. Of course, I worked 4 to midnight. As all I could see was these beautiful blue eyes and this blonde hair the whole time I was at work. I said, God, that ain't funny. He said, why don't you ask her out? Because I don't want to. I'm scared. And he said, why don't you ask her out? I said, if she's there again tomorrow, I'll do it. Wouldn't you believe the fourth day in a row, guess who was there again? So I asked her for a date on the following Saturday. I got through it. I had sweaty palms. I was scared to death. You wouldn't believe how a man could be so afraid of something so little, so sweet, and so quiet. But we are. And I thought, wow, I did it. Got my lunch bag. Got almost to my car. Brother Gus, I realized I didn't tell her where I was going to meet her or what time. I thought, oh, no. I ran all the way back into the college. I knew she worked cleaning in the administrative hallway, and you weren't supposed to be in the administrative hallway without a pass. I didn't have a pass. I didn't give a rip. I went down the lower hallway. She wasn't there. I thought, oh, snot. Dr. Wendell Evans's office is on the main floor. Do you know where I found her? Just outside Dr. Evans's office. And I said, Debbie, I forgot to tell you what time. She said, I know. I thought, would this time be okay? Sure. Okay, I'll meet you at such and such place at that time. I felt like an idiot. I thought it was over before it started. I really did. So it got a little bit more complicated. we had our first date. It was great. Now, what was really funny was she had already accepted a date with one of my friends who I worked with in the same machine shop. So she was going to go on a date with him. I won't give his name. But I thought, oh, no. It was that bad. She's going on a date. I'm going to ask her again just in case. So I asked her again. I knew after the first date that she was the one I was to marry. I didn't have any doubt. She wasn't as sure, but I was. I literally knew after the first date that was the right one. Now, I just kept asking her for all the time she would give me, and I didn't give the other guy a chance. One night at work, after a couple weeks, he said, Craig, back off. I wanted a chance with her. I said, drop dead, jerk. He looked at me. I said, mm-mm, man. I said, I got a good thing going. You ain't horning in. I said, if she ain't saying yes to you, she's saying yes to me. And I've asked way in advance, and I'm not telling you how far. Nyeh. He gave up. Amen. Now, my wife and I became friends. Then we became sweethearts. We began to grow in love with each other, and that was in October, November, December. In January, I told her I loved her after 3.5 months, 4 months. You say, why? I wasn't giving the other guy a chance, amen? And I won't go into that whole long dramatic story either, but she didn't tell me right away she loved me. She made me wait till the next day. Her mother could still kill her for that, just so you know. Got mother-in-law on my side, amen? But 3 months or so after our first date, I told her that I loved her. And then that was January. I think just a couple, maybe a week or two after we got engaged, her grandfather passed away. And she and her family went to Minnesota for the funeral and things and came back. And we got through that second semester of that college year. And she left to go home for 3 long months. How cruel. I stayed there and worked. She went home. Do you know how hard it is to be in love with somebody and be away for 3 months? Oh, dirty bum that was. I talked to my dad and I said, "Dad, this is the one. I need to get her a ring." He said, "Okay." So I worked all summer long. I went back one time in the summer. He knew a guy that could help get me a ring cheap. I think he was from Youngstown and was part of the mob. But no, I'm teasing, but not really. But he helped me get a very much more than I could ever afford type ring. But we were able to work it out. And I took it back to the college. Good night. I had that thing hidden, locked in. I looked at that thing 20 times a day, and she wasn't even there. That was the day before cell phones. You didn't call each other. I mean, we talked to each other maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks on the phone. We wrote each other every day, sent the letters once a week because we didn't have enough money for postage, but we wrote each other every day for 3 long months. She got letters from me written on the backs of time cards. I mean, you name it, it happened, all right? But she came back. The day she came back to college, I pulled her mom aside while she was taking some things into her room. And I said, "Mom," I said, "I want to ask Debbie if I can marry her, and I want to have your permission." She said, "I wondered how long you were going to wait." I said, "I'm not." She said, "Good." She said, "Talk to her dad." So I talked to her stepdad. He and I went out to the car. I said, "You don't, lady, stay here. We'll just go out and get the rest of this stuff." Told him. He said, "Good. You can pay her last year of college." And that's kind of how it went. And of course, I said, "Now you all wait here." I said, "Debbie," I said, "let's go out. I got to talk to you for a second." We went out down by the lake where everybody got engaged at the college. And I asked her to marry me that day. Now, I say that to say this. We were friends. Then we became sweethearts. She then entered into the same Bible club that I worked in, my ministry and my bus route, started working with me. We became fellow workers in the ministry together. We grew in love together. And then we decided to get married. We were engaged, and then we got married. And I say all this to say this. When I stood at the altar at the Lewis Avenue Baptist Church in Temperance, Michigan, Dr. Les Hobbins was her pastor. Brother Hobbins was 4'10", a Canadian fella. He's about that tall. I'm not kidding. But you said, "Yes, sir," to everything that man said, because he was tough as a stick of dynamite. He pointed his finger in my face, I don't know how many times. He said, "You better make sure she finishes college." I mean, in the wedding ceremony 3 times, he said, "And Craig's going to make sure she finishes college." I mean, he was preaching at me during the wedding. That was just the way he was, and I liked it. But I remember something he said to me personally. He said, "Craig, Debbie will leave her mom and dad to cleave to you. You better take care of her. She's leaving everything she knows to come to you. She'll have needs that she's leaving that you must now supply." Whew. Man, you talk about responsibility. I just felt like they put Evan Barnes on my shoulders. I mean, and then Jimmy jumped on. I mean, it was getting there. It was like, "Ooh, okay, that's a little heavy there, preacher." And I remember what it was like. It was not, we got married. And of course, you know, the first 2 weeks you're married, everything's just, you know, puppy dogs and floating on clouds. But then the bills start coming in, amen? Then you realize marriage is more than hugging and kissing and sitting on the couch together. It's work, and there's a lot more to it than that, and there's responsibility. Now, we didn't live near her parents. We didn't live near my parents. We didn't live near her brother or her sister. We didn't live close to her grandparents or my grandparents. We didn't live close to her aunts and uncles. By the way, I'm glad of that, and so was she. No, I'm teasing. They're good folks. They're just ornery in many different ways. Her three aunts wanted the keys to my car the day of our wedding. Oh, we're just going to move it over here. I said, Janet, Cleo, and Annette, I don't know you, but I know enough about people. You ain't touching my car. I said, first of all, it's stick shift. Oh, that's okay. We think Janet can drive it. I said, the word think is the wrong word to use. Number two, I know what kind of people you are. You ain't touching my car. I said, y'all are from Minnesota. I know what you all are like. Don't you touch my car, all right? And they tried to get it. They tried to get in it and tried to do all kinds of things, but it was locked. Now, they didn't get the keys either. We didn't live in the area there, but for about a year, we left our college friends. We left there and went to California. We went to the mission field of Long Beach, California. Lord have mercy. We had been married just a year, and we left everybody we knew. And little 4'10" Dr. Hobbins, I could hear screaming. He didn't scream, but I could hear these words yelling in my head. Craig, she's left everything to cleave to you. She's left everything to cleave to you. Whew. Now what? Just a year after we had been married, we were in California. Then, about a year after that, God gave us our first child, and then we went through a lot of health issues, almost lost him on life support for three plus weeks. And God began to teach me some very powerful things about marriage. I had taken my wife away from an awful lot of relationships. I had taken her away from her mom, her dad, her brother, her sister, her fellow workers, her friends, her college, her grandparents, her state. We went to the mission field of Southern California. We were in the box of cereal of America, you know, full of fruits, flakes, and nuts. We were out there during the Rodney King riots. It was rough. But I realized I had to step up and start fulfilling some of those relationships. It wasn't just good enough that I was husband. There were some roles that, and I'm not talking about the kind that you eat or the kind that you have. I'm talking about there was some different responsibilities in our marriage that I had to step up and fill some voids for our marriage to be complete. And I began to understand what leave to cleave really means. The word cleave is an interesting word. Have you ever seen a piece of plywood? A piece of plywood is many different layers of board that are glued together. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. You know, just, okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You lay a layer of board with the grain going this way, and then they put glue down and lay a board this way, and they put glue down and put another one this way till you get it the thickness you need. And a half-inch board might have 7 or 8 layers of wood in there to make up one piece of plywood. Well, the word cleave means this. If you tried to separate those layers of wood, you would do irreparable damage to both pieces of wood that you pulled apart. That because that wood is cleaving together. God says, when you take a spouse, you are to leave mom and dad and cleave together.
That's right.
I don't believe people should get divorced, but I don't believe divorced people are third-rate citizens and have no place in the church either. I believe you ought to stay married to the one you're married to right now. I don't care if it's your first, second, third, or fourth, or whatever number it is, stay married. Everybody doing okay? And anybody knows me knows how I stand on that. I say that especially for those of you that are in your first marriage or not married yet. You get married to the right one, you don't have to worry about the word divorce. Told that lady back there 27 years ago, if we get married, divorce will never be spoken about in our house. Or just say no now. And guess what? Has never been said. Ever. After 26 plus years of marriage. Now, I say that to say this. I could not replace her dad. I could not replace her mom. I couldn't replace her brother, her sister, her friends, or anything like that. But as her husband, it was my responsibility to fill some of the voids she had by her leaving to come with me and cleave with me. Everybody with me so far? Now, I'm headed somewhere. Hang on. I had many relationships to fill as her husband. Husband was just the main title. I didn't realize how many subtitles went with it. You know, kind of like being mom. Being mom means more than just being mom. It means washing clothes, doing diapers, wiping up, baby spit up. I was going to use another word, but it's not real nice. It means wiping the things that comes out of their nose. Can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you what it's not. It means cooking. It means being a nurse. It means being a doctor. It means being a disciplinarian. That term mom means an awful lot more than just one thing. It is multifaceted. And in marriage, being a husband or being a wife is the same type of position. It's very multifaceted, multi-layered, if it's to be done right. Now, if we are to leave and cleave to get married, it's our job to fulfill the need or the void in your spouse's life. Now, we cleaved together and we made a stronger marriage because of it. Now, if you'll listen to me tonight, I think I can help you. I have 16 minutes to preach 3 points. I can do it. Point number one, leave and cleave. Leave and cleave. When you get married and move away from mommy and daddy's house. Everybody doing okay? I'm not mad. I don't know anybody that lives with your mommy and daddy. But I know this, at 48 years old, after being married 26 years, I love my dad and I love my mom, but I don't want to go live with them unless they need me to take care of them physically. I don't need it because I'm just too lazy to go out there and put a roof over my wife's head. Everybody doing okay? It was my job as her husband to fulfill that role of security. My dad put it this way before I ever met my wife. I said, Dad, how do you know for sure you're ready to get married? He said, when you can provide for somebody else what's been given to you your whole life, then you're ready. In other words, when you can provide the security that that little lady needs that she's getting from everybody else, then you're ready. I know people that are 30 and 40 years old that aren't ready to get married. Okay, it's real quiet in here. I'm going to make a statement here. If my wife is always talking about running back to mama and daddy, it's because I'm not fulfilling the role she needs security-wise of her dad and mom. Everybody doing okay? Now, that doesn't mean my wife shouldn't go back and see her mom and dad from time to time. But just because I threw my dirty socks on the floor and I came in with dirty feet and walked on her clean floor doesn't mean, well, I'm tired of it. I'm going back home to see mama. She ain't never said that. Number one, she don't want to go to northern Minnesota anymore. Too cold up there. But, you know, if she runs back to mama and daddy, part of it is my fault because I didn't give her the security she needed about her mom and her dad. Do you know, I make sure my wife talks to her mom and dad regularly. Do you know, if I'm not around when she's talked to them, I ask, how's mom doing? How's dad doing? What's going on up there? We just talked about it just yesterday. Say why? Because I want to make sure she has that security. And there's times that I have to step up. I don't play dad to her, but I must give her the security her dad would give her. Everybody understand that? No, I'm going to make a statement here. Step-parents, step-children are part of this as well. I don't have that in my life, but if I did, I would remove the term step. My oldest son is married. I don't have a daughter-in-law. I've got a son and a daughter. She's not my daughter-in-law. Ruth Ann is our daughter just as much as Melinda is my daughter. You can ask her. I love it when my daughter-in-law texts me and she said, Dad, this or Dad, that. She calls me Dad as much as she calls her biological dad. I thank God for that. That's the way it ought to be. By the way, in a step situation, it should be very similar. You can't force your way to be your stepchild's dad, but you can be to them while they're under your leadership, that security that you need to be to fulfill that role. And by the way, you're not their dad biologically, but if they're with you, you should provide that security. And you should make it available for them to go to the other and not feel bad about it. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in here. Stepchildren, quit looking at your stepmom or your stepdad as this mean, vicious, vile creature. You're supposed to love them with the same love. I know not all of them are easy to love. Ask your mom. Nobody's easy to love. Nobody's that easy to love. But we're supposed to fill those voids in each other's lives. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and it's kind of like old Sam Jones, the evangelist. He was talking to a woman in her house, and the cat was squalling while it was on his lap, and she said, Dr. Jones, you need to turn the cat around. You're rubbing the fur the wrong way. He said, lady, turn the cat around yourself. I'm not changing. Let the cat change. I'm not changing the cat. Parents need to quit controlling their grown children's lives. When your children become adult enough to leave your home, they're adult enough to make their own decisions. You can warn them. You can say, are you sure that's right? But you can't control them. You can love them and you can pray for them. By the way, maybe you've married in and you have inherited children that aren't yours, but they're now adults. Be careful you don't push them too hard on your spouse. But I think that you ought to teach your children to love whoever you love. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun here. I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Did you know that my son and my daughter that are not married have accepted my oldest son's wife as part of the family? We were there when we took Mindy to Bible college. And I found out. Ruth Ann just works about a mile or so from where they live. She works at a daycare. And one day, she was walking home. Josh couldn't get her in time, so she decided to walk. Well, my son Jeff saw her walking home. He was driving the other direction. He spun his car around in the middle of the road. Came up, rolled the window down, and said, hey, what are you doing walking? She said, well, Josh couldn't get. He said, get in the back. He scolded her. He said, don't you dare walk home. He said, you call me. He said, I'm going to get all over. He got all over his brother for making his wife walk home when he was available to take her. She didn't walk home anymore. I was proud that my son looked at his sister-in-law as a sister, not as a sister-in-law. Say why? Because they're just part of the family. Isn't that what it's all about? Boy, I love that. You know, let your children leave and cleave. Quit trying to play God in their life. I will have little control over who my daughter one day marries. Now, I have the right to say, honey, I don't think that's the right kind of guy, but if she keeps dating him, she has to live with it, not me. I can warn her. But if she makes a mistake, that's not my fault. She's been taught what to look for. She's going to get mad at me. She met somebody that she's become friends with. This poor fella's been grilled by two brothers already. She was in Dr. Jorgensen's office recently, and they were talking about her seizures and how stress brings them on. And he said, now, is there anybody here, or is there any young men here that you're dating? She said, Doc, we can't date the first semester we're here. No, I'm not dating, but I've got one that we're becoming friends. Well, is it adding pressure to you? Yes, sir, a little bit. About a week ago or so, maybe. About a week ago, when they were in the lobby together, and Dr. Jorgensen walked through, and that same young man was standing there talking to my daughter one of the two times a week they talk. He said, Melinda, come here. He pulled her aside. He said, "Melinda, is that young man bothering you?" She said, "No, we're just talking." He said, if he's putting pressure on you, I'll take care of it right here." She said, "Daddy, not only has he got to go through Josh and Jeff, now he's got to go through Dr. Jorgensen." I said, "Yeah, and I'm coming, and he's going to have to come through me." She said, "But Daddy, we're just friends." I said, "Good, keep it that way." Poor kid, he ain't got a chance, amen? I love it. Now, wait a minute. You know, it's not my job to pick my children's spouse. I'd pick wrong. Just so you know. I'm glad my dad and mom didn't pick my spouse. Now, they'll tell you now, I got the right one, but they didn't know her to pick her. Who are you to pick your children's spouse? And by the way, when they do, love them as your own, whether you like the choice they made or not. Okay, number two. That one didn't go over real well. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, amen? Number two, as you leave, or as your spouse leaves, you're to fill the void for the other that has left. This does not mean you never let them see their in-laws or their parents again. And by the way, do you know I don't look at my wife and say, "You don't need to call your mom"? That's a stupid thing. My wife will tell you, I probably bug her more about her calling her mom than anybody. Say why? Because I want to make sure she has direct access. But my wife doesn't call mommy every time something doesn't go her way. Everybody doing okay? Usually if it's a cooking issue, she'll call my mom. But I've never pushed my mom and my dad on my wife. I didn't say, "Well, my mom and dad moved here. They're closer. Why don't you talk to them?" "No, honey, have you talked to your mom about that yet?" "No, let's talk to your mom." Or, "Yeah, I need to call my mom about this." "Got your phone? If not, here's mine." Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? But it does mean this, because we're so far away, I have to fill some of those voids. Did you know there's times my wife has to fill some of the void of my mom in my life? I don't call my mommy and say, "Mommy, can you be mommy today to me? Can I come and just sit down and eat at your house today?" Uh-uh. I don't leave home and come to work and go to my mom and dad's house for lunch every day, and my wife is 5 minutes farther down the road because I just want to eat mom's cooking. I love my mom and I love my mom's cooking, but I'd rather eat my wife's cooking than my mom's cooking most of the time because I'm married to my wife. Everybody doing all right? Man. I can never replace her mom, her dad, her brother, her sister, her aunts, her uncle, especially Uncle Tim. I can't replace some of her friends from college. I can't replace some of the friends we've had in the ministry around the country. But I can step up and try to fill some of those voids. Sometimes it means you getting them close to that person on purpose. I'm not going into this very, very hard, but this means you quit pushing. If you live in a divorced and remarried situation, quit forcing your newly acquired family. Quit pushing your side of your marriage is in the past on the new side. Build a new chapter. Build an us, not yours and mine. Everybody doing okay? Build new chapters. Boy, that's a good statement. And number three, and I'll finish. What are some of the relationships that we need to fill in our marriage? Number one, lovers. I believe you should be lovers to your own spouse forever. My kids, when they lived at home, never went a day of their life without seeing mom and dad hug and kiss each other. As my children became adults, they'd say, "Oh, Dad, quit that. It's rough looking at old people hug and kiss." And I thank God for it. Did you know my married son doesn't say that anymore? He's finding out. My other kids are like, Dad, do you got to do that all the time? Yes. Say why? Because she's mine. Might be snow on the roof, but there's still fire in the fireplace. Amen? Shoot, you ain't even got snow on the roof. It's a slick roof. The shingles wore off. Amen? You better re-shingle that thing, but not like Donald Trump. Can I tell you something? You ought to keep a little of the lover in the marriage all the way through. Matter of fact, keep it a lot. Keep things close. Keep things tender. Did you know now that there's no kids at my house that my wife and I still hug and kiss each other a lot each day? I got an oversized recliner chair so that we can both sit in it. There ain't nobody in the house but her and I. We got an empty nest. Glory to God. You know what? We still sit in the same chair, just her and I and the dog. Sometimes. Stupid dog will get up and try to sit between us and one or the other. You ain't sitting between us, all right? My kids didn't sit between us in the car. They didn't sit between us in church. And they're not going to sit between us now. And neither is no stupid dog, amen? Amen. Then one of the other relationships you need to fill is that of parent. As you move away from your family, you have to provide some security. As your parents pass away and go to heaven, you'll need to fill some of those voids. Fortunately, we haven't had to be there yet, but the day's coming that we'll have to fill some of those voids. Grandparents, did you know there's a little bit of spoiling that goes on with grandparents? Let me rephrase that. Did you know there's a lot of spoiling that goes on with grandparents? Amen. Did you know that as our grandparents have passed, it's our job to step up and spoil each other a little bit like a grandparent would? It wasn't too awful long ago. She said something or I did something, and she said something about one of her grandparents. And I thought to myself, I did it right. I did it right. She didn't even catch she said it, but I did it right. It reminded her of something her grandpa did for her grandma, is what she said. And I thought, I did it right. I did it right. I'm supposed to spoil her. You know, there's times I'll stop and get my wife flowers and take them home, and it's not a special day. Say why? Just because I love her, and I want to do a little spoiling. Isn't that part of my job as husband? So a little of that. Let me give you two more, and then I'm done. There needs to be a little brother-sister step up. Did you know that brothers and sisters pick at each other? I know it didn't take place in your house when you were growing up, but it did mine. Now, I never had a sister, but I did have a brother. Did you know she's got a brother and a sister? Did you know there's part of that role every once in a while that I'll pick at her like a brother would? I've told my children, dorm life is much like married life. You have to get along with somebody that doesn't share your last name, that does not think like you think, nor act like you act, and it's very much like being married, living in a college dorm situation. And I think it's very healthy for your children. My kids are at Bible college to live with people they're not related to and figure out how to communicate and get that thing along. It's very important. Man, do I feel like I'm by myself. Then there's another relationship, and that is that of friendship. My wife and I have been through a lot of battles together, not with each other, just being in the ministry for 26 years. Can I tell you something? We've been friends all along. By the way, I'll just go ahead and throw this out there. Not Facebook friends, real friends. I don't have Facebook, don't want Facebook. One of my friends from back in Ohio texted me this morning to let me know Dr. Bruce Cummins' wife had passed away. She's from Massillon there. She said, did you hear? I said, no. She said, well, it's on Facebook. I said, Jeannie, you know I don't do Facebook. I don't have it, don't want it, not going to have it, not going to be in my house. My wife doesn't have it. I don't have it. And I've got real friends. I don't need Facebook friends. That's phony friendship. Everybody doing okay? Okay, I'm going to go to my grave saying it. By the way, did you know that in 60% of the divorces in America today, social networking is a part of it? Did you know no matter what happens, she and I are friends? Our last one left the nest about 6 weeks ago. Now, wait a minute. It was hard. I tease about it. But watch this. You know, my wife and I have become better friends even because of that. Do you know that as my children have left, I've had to step up and even fill that void of my children leaving her? So every once in a while, there's a little Josh that comes out of me. Say why? Because he's so much like me. There's a little Jeff that comes out of me every once in a while. It's a little harder to get the Mindy to come out of me, but it's there. Now, wait a minute. You say, "How? What do you mean?" Because that was her shopping buddy. Do you know I've been to the grocery store with my wife now for the first time in 24 years? Say, what did you do? I pushed the cart and said nothing. Except, yes, ma'am. Over here, over there, where should we go next? That's her area, not mine. I'm not messing with it. I'll push the cart and spend time with her. Did you enjoy it? I enjoyed being with my wife. Do I enjoy shopping? Never. Never. But I enjoy being with her. I learned there's a certain way you're supposed to take things out of the cart and put it on the doojigger belt there. And it's a certain order, and if you don't do it the right way, it's not right. At least at my house. I'm having to learn how to take the things out, not just throw it on the thing. You say, what would you do? They need to make that conveyor belt either a little lower or the cart a little higher with a dump on it, so you just go like this. Amen? That's man style. But don't go shopping with my wife if that's your philosophy, because you're going to get corrected in a hurry. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that we've had friends come, friends go, friends change, but she and I have stayed together as friends all these years? And I'm glad. Did you know we started as friends? We're going to finish as friends. I'm done. I'm going to make one statement. God compares the church to a family in marriage. He's the bridegroom. We are the bride. He is the husband, and Jesus is all these things to us. Now watch this. As your pastor, I try to fill some of those roles for you. I'll try to be a brother to some of you men. Sometimes I'll try to be dad to some of you ladies. I try to be that security. I'll try to be your brother at times. Usually it's the pesky little brother. Amen. I try to be some of these roles to you, because that's what I'm to be as God's under shepherd and leader of the church for you. I'm not God. I fail. I apologize. But I'm trying to step up and grow into it, just like I've tried to step up and grow with my wife for the last 26 years. You give us 26 years together as pastor and people, guess what? We're going to go through a lot of things together, and it's going to be okay. I may fail here and there, but I'm going to try to step up and be what you need me to be. Here's my goal. I'd love to see each and every marriage here, each and every future marriage represented by the young people here. When you leave, you cleave. And there's lots of roles to fill. It's not just being a husband or not just being a wife. Each one of those roles is very multi-layered. So many times if we don't get our way, then we have contention in the marriage. We're supposed to leave and cleave and make it happen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm a rookie. My mom and dad have been married 53 years. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I have 5 aunts and uncles that have all been married over 50 years. I have a brother that's been married over 30 years. I'm the rookie at it in my family. Huh. But I really believe if we would leave and cleave and we would do it God's way, and by the way, you're going to have to do it the Bible way. You're going to have to be right with God. 1 John 4:7-8, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. If you have contention in your marriage, if you have fighting in your marriage, you have a walking with God issue somewhere. And I wonder how many of our marriages suffer, how many of our parent-child relationships suffer, how many of our step-parents and step-child relationships suffer because of this.